Welcome back to the Mel Kay Show. This is so exciting. I have been following our guest today for a very long time. Many of you may know her. She is a voice out there who does a lot of the work that all of us then learn so much about what's going on in society and culture from what she is doing. And I am honored to welcome Libby Emmons to the show. Thank you for joining me.
Thanks so much, Mel. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. Now, a lot of people probably know you from multiple places where you are. You're on Timcast quite a bit as well. But you are a editor and a writer of some of the best websites and news out there. So if you can tell my audience a little bit about your background, and then we'll get into the amazing work you're doing.
Sure. I'm the editor-in-chief with the Postmillennial and humanevents.com. We do breaking news and culture at Postmillennial, and we do opinion and some international news at Human Events. My background is in theater. I was a theater artist for most of my career. That's what I studied, and that's what I pursued. Then I switched over to journalism in about like a little before 2018, but that's really when I took the plunge, and here I am.
Yeah, and we both were in theater and that whole world in New York at the same time. And it's really amazing how much the world has changed since then on every level. And what you actually, in my opinion, are excellent at, and why I think people love you and follow you, is you're really good at looking at the culture and society and what is really affecting it to the core. You do something on Twitter that I think I'm so grateful that I don't have to do it. But you go through and you find the stories that are really just outlandish and outrageous, and they're trying to manipulate people and kind of point them out as they are. So what, when you're going through everything and you're looking at it, what are you seeing that you feel like is very manipulative and very, in my opinion, trying to mind control people, and it's over and over, and you tend to like zone in on that and point out the hypocrisy in a lot of it. What are you seeing these days that you think is just blatantly propaganda?
Well, there's so much propaganda, right? And we saw this during COVID. It was absolutely insane. Wear masks, even if it's a crocheted mask. Thank you, Alyssa Milano. Like, this makes absolutely no sense. We're seeing a lot of crazy stuff now with regard to the Middle East war, where you see leftists and LGBTQ activists bolstering the position of Hamas and being very anti-Israel, and doing so from a position of progressive American values, which are not at all respected in Gaza, which are not at all respected by an Islamist worldview. So I find that really fascinating, like reproductive justice and Palestine. And it's like, well, abortion is illegal in Gaza unless the mother's life is at risk or the parents agree because of fetal abnormalities to abort the child. So it's like, I'm not sure what you think you're bolstering there. You
know, like, right.
That's crazy. Or like, there's a lot of anti-homosexual stuff in the Islamic ideological worldview. And you have like all these trans people being like, yay. And you're like, they hate you, dog.
Right. It's so true. And it's like so hypocritical too. But honestly, you've been watching this. I think one thing that we've come to realize, and you've been writing about it for a long time, is that these groups are all pretty much funded by the same people. Black Lives Matter is not very different than what we're seeing right now in the streets. And if you follow the money, you're going to find that this is this globalist kind of billionaire oligarchy of NGOs that push this, like Human Rights Campaign or Tides Foundation or all of that. And their big thing is that they're all equally oppressed, and that everyone else are the oppressors. And this storyline is falling apart, I feel like, in real time. Do you see the parallel and the obvious nature of Black Lives Matter being kind of replayed over and over and over, and as if they're all in it together when they're really not?
Yeah, I do think that there's a similarity there. I do think that those things are in common. I think it's interesting what you say about the oppressor victim worldview and how rampant that is, how much that's taken over. And I do think that perspective of the oppressor victim worldview is anathema to the values of the United States. It's anathema to the values we were founded on. And I think that it will destroy American culture and society if Americans don't stand up and fight for the values that we used to believe united us. I don't know if they, perhaps they never did, or perhaps things have changed that drastically. You hear a lot of people talking about how the America we are now is not the one that we grew up in. And for sure, that's true of every generation, but there is something starkly different now in this grievance mindset than the mindset of meritocracy and achievement that we used to have. We used to have this idea that if you work hard and you try your best, you know, you may be rewarded for that. And now it's, if I do nothing but tell you that you are oppressing me, I should be awarded for that. And that is a bizarre turnabout. And I don't think that it will lead to any great innovations in technology or government or culture
right
in the US.
Well, I think that that's the point, though, also, is I do feel like this globalist, global governance, I say that our country has been captured by a billionaire oligarchy of these globalists that are really post-America. You know, a lot of people talk about how, you know, they're destroying America from within. I frankly think that we're in a color revolution. We have been for quite some time. And the truth of the matter is that the American people, by and large, though, seem to be sitting it out. What's really amazing is to watch the last several days. I know you've been covering it, of these huge protests, 10,000, 20,000, 50,000 people marching in the streets. You would think that there would be 10 times that marching in the streets against the Great Reset, against the globalism, against the two-tier justice system, but that's not happening. And is it a matter that we are not organized, that we are not able to get out there? I know a lot of these people are paid, but it's like they don't even seem to realize that at the end of the day, whatever they're marching for will be gone. They will not be able to do that if we continue down the path we are on, which I believe 2024 goes to a one-party system. We're talking about a globalist one-party system, the Constitution, Bill of Rights. Marching at all will be nothing. But do you feel that people aren't amassing in the streets to fight back against this totalitarian takeover that is being attempted because of fear, or because they're not organized, or because of January 6th? Because it's really amazing to watch this group of people marching for Hamas and thinking that the American people aren't marching for freedom.
I wonder about that too, quite a bit. And I think that I think it's certainly possible that Americans don't think totalitarianism can happen here. We heard an awful lot of lip service during Trump's 4 years in office from the likes of Joy Reid and others on MSNBC and CNN, that Trump was going to create an authoritarian dictatorship. And of course, he did exactly the opposite of that. You know, he went out there and he created bilateral agreements between allies and foes. He created the Abraham Accords, which I think were a really great achievement, and it's sad to see that crumble apart. He cut down illegal immigration at the border to the point where, since Joe Biden has taken office, it's been something like 7 million illegal border crossings. And when Trump's last year in office in 2020, I think it was 480,000 illegal border crossings, which 480,000, that's still too many, but it is a manageable number. 7 million is not a manageable number. And we're seeing that across our country, not just in the border states, but in New York City, in Los Angeles, in all of these cities where people are being bused. I think that in a lot of ways, Americans and America has been such a secure place since even the world wars, right? I mean, we fought these world wars, but we didn't fight on our own soil.
Right.
We fought these wars, but we made a lot of money off these wars. We had munitions. And like, if you're going to go to war, which isn't a great idea, you know, for obvious moral reasons, like at least make some money off it. You know, I don't know. The Nobels did that. And now they're funding peace prizes, the crazy right. people. But so I mean, America, and because we were wealthy and because we were manufacturing and because we were doing all of that, we were such a secure nation. It never occurred to us in the 90s,
right?
Maybe it's people in intelligence, but it never occurred to us in the 90s that there were going to, that our passenger planes were going to be turned into bombs and used to destroy our skyscrapers and infrastructure. That did not occur to anyone. That was a shocking moment. Even when it happened, we were like, what? Like, it was confusing. Like, people hate us this much? Really? I didn't know. Because here we are at the top of the food pyramid. You know, we can look down, but we don't really know what everybody is thinking when they look up. So I think that that level of security and stability was so strong that it is very, very difficult for Americans who grew up with that stability and security to imagine that it could crumble. And now the thing too, and I've been thinking about this, it's like we built a civilization in America and in the West, but you know, mostly I think about America. We built a civilization based on, you know, the British foundations, et cetera, that was so strong and so sturdy that it's taking a really long time to fall apart.
Right.
But it is falling apart. It's just taking a long time. So, and it's so incremental that it's hard to see that that's what's happening. But if you look at, you mentioned January 6th, Owen Schroyer is a journalist. He's going to jail today. He's going to spend time in federal prison. What did he do? He was outside the Capitol. He was like talking a little treason. You know what I mean? But like, that's what you do. That's not a bad thing. You can criticize the government. In America, we used to be able to criticize the government in America. He was standing out there. He was speaking. He went on TV shows and spoke his mind, as is our natural God-given right to do so, speak our mind without, you know, the government slamming us for speaking our mind. So now he's going to prison. We saw Douglas Mackey, who was making memes in 2016 in the lead up to the 2016 general election between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. He's going to jail for, I think, 7 months for making a meme. And the Department of Justice called his meme election interference. They said that it was a conspiracy against rights because he was attempting to deprive people of their right to vote. It was a joke. These are political cartoons, right? This is funny, ha-ha. And during his trial, the Department of Justice could not prove that any single person was harmed or that anyone believed that the joke was real. By that logic, aren't we just waiting for the Babylon Bee's founders to get rounded up?
Yes.
Not the Onion's founders, because it's hierarchy, not hypocrisy necessarily. But yeah, I think it's very hard for your average American who's got a job and getting dinner on the table and enjoying their life and, you know, doing the things. It's hard to see that our republic and our rights are just crumbling before us.
Yeah. And I'm glad you bring them both up. I was going to bring up Owen Schroyer, but this isn't new. This has been going on for quite some time. You and I both, I got purged from YouTube, but we know many people that were on the Twitter files that were, you know, being spied on. A lot of us believe that the Patriot Act was initially told to, for us to worry about domestic terror, I mean, about terrorists, Islamic terrorists. It has been really about domestic terrorists. I know you saw, and I did, Newsweek put out an article last week about FBI people. It sounded very ominous, and it basically that they created a brand new FBI branch of anti-authority, anti-government, basically MAGA.
They changed the rule.
Right.
Yeah.
And now they're scary.
And if you really, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, go ahead. I want you to comment.
No, if you look at the what the FBI has done and the Department of Justice, they have changed it. Like you just said, they changed the rules to be anti-government groups, anti-authoritarian groups. That's what we're Americans. Like, we're anti-government. That's our deal.
Right.
The government is there to serve us. We do not serve the government. The government serves at the will of their constituents, that not the other way around. One thing that makes me so mad right now, we don't have a House Speaker. The Republicans have a majority in House and Congress, like just get a speaker in place. The House is there. That is the people's house.
Right.
And this is something that we've heard Marjorie Taylor Greene speak about, Jim Jordan speak about, congressmen who I think have some measure of integrity, which is saying a lot, because I don't think anybody in government has integrity. But here they are out there going, we're here to do the people's work. let's do the people's work. And, you know, yes, please. Yep. Do the people's work. Do what the people have sent you to Congress to do, which is advocate for us, advocate for what we think is important, advocate for our rights. And our rights are being squashed. And we see this president, you know, who's like incredibly wealthy now after being very poor when he started and whatever. And we see him out there, like, essentially, if we are to believe the House Oversight Committee, making incredibly shady deals with his family in order to line their pockets, selling the Biden name, selling his influence, doing all of this. And what? Nobody cares. They spent 4 years screaming that Trump was a Russian agent, basically, totally disproven. That turned out to be entirely a giant bucket of lies. And now you have Biden out there. His son and himself were apparently involved in deals in China, Ukraine, Kazakhstan. Well, where are we having all these issues right now? Right. Look at, like, why are we in Ukraine if it's not like Biden's little pet project? Do you know what I mean? And then you saw his speech last week where he's now linking Ukraine and Israel. And he's saying, like, okay, now it's both wars. Now we're going to just have both wars. Oh, okay, you crazy man. Like, do your little dementia shuffle. And, like, can you just actually, can adults actually be in charge? Remember when they said the adults are back in charge?
I do. Yeah, and what's very scary, too, is, you know, we have all these people marching in the street for Hamas, and what you've pointed out many times is you can feel for the Palestinian people, but what happened on October 7th, I know people want to debunk it or whatever, it actually happened. And it was, we look at the cartels and at MI6 and all of that with horror. The horror that was committed on these people in this kibbutz and all around that area that were unarmed, innocent at the music festival should be equally disturbing and evil, no matter who you are, just being a human. And what has happened is that they're standing out there. They're calling for a ceasefire. We all know that Hamas's entire reason for being is to kill Jews and basically infidels in general to eradicate Israel. And on top of that, it's not even them, because I know that people are starting to understand this money situation, but they sent $6 billion to Qatar. Well, the heads of Hamas are in Qatar. So to me, I don't think that the powers that be that are paying for all of this on both sides, including the taxpayers of the United States, are taking into account that the people that are running these wars do not care how many people die, whether they're Israeli, Palestinian, Ukrainian, or Russian. It is really a point where I have to wonder, where is humanity standing? Humanity should be standing against this in mass. And instead, we are focusing on this group of people that seem to think, you know, a ceasefire is possible. That's not where we are. And it's compassion and empathy that is missing, that is most shocking to me.
Yeah, I think that you're right. And I do find it troubling the extent to which the Americans who are more in favor of isolationism are willing to back Hamas because of that. I understand a nuanced perspective, and I'm all on board with a nuanced perspective. I don't want war. I'm not a person who would ever want that. I marched against the Iraq war in 2003, you know, I did protest art against the Patriot Act at the time. I was like, this is terrible. We shouldn't do this. You know, nobody listened to me, who cares? But shocking, people don't listen to
you. Wouldn't be where you are if nobody listened to you. A lot of people listen to you. You just didn't know. Right.
Yeah. So, but I do find that troubling, just as I find it troubling the way people were saying, oh, if you're against war in Ukraine, you're pro-Putin, which I also think you can have a nuanced view of that. I've been getting dragged a little bit myself for saying Israel is our ally. The Jewish people basically don't have a friend in the world except for the United States. There's what, like 6 million Jews in Israel, and there's like 2.5 million in the United States.
Right.
Most of those are in New York, you know.
Certainly, we've both lived where they are, New York and LA, and
LA. Elsewhere. But I do think that the push to sort of be in favor of the Palestinian position in the midst of this is tough. And the question is, what does Israel have the right to do? In self-defense, is what they're doing self-defense, as I think a lot of Israelis would tell you? or is what they're doing vengeance? Does it make sense to like narrow in on these little itty bitty details about like, did this happen exactly that way? Or did this happen the other way? Or did it happen like the whole hospital thing that captured everyone's cancel culture impulses for a couple of days? I mean, I don't know what the best thing to do is. I do think that, you know, America should support her allies just as America would wish to be supported by those allies. And I think a true isolationist approach, while very sexy, is also scary when you think about the, you know, the hordes that would be massing outside those walls of Jericho. I don't know. But yeah, it's troubling. It's been a troubling thing to see that. I find it very troubling the amount of young people and students that are on board with hating Israel. I won't say pro Hamas, because I think that you can oppose Israel and oppose Hamas. But the anti-Israel protest saying from the river to the sea, which is a call for genocide, that's scary. We saw in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn, where I used to live just until a few months ago, a lot of protesters, very Arab neighborhood. It's literally one of those melting pot neighborhoods, you know, like in the subway stations in Bay Ridge, there's like five languages, you know, but seeing the number of Americans of Palestinian descent, of Arab descent, and who have just gone to our best universities coming out there screaming for the destruction of Israel, I find that really troubling. A lot of this, and I was doing some research into this, a lot of this is because of the American educational system, which after 9/11 created textbooks that were really downplayed jihad as a concept, downplayed Sharia law, and of course criticized the Jewish people and Christians as colonizers, right? So already you had in American textbooks lining up the oppressor victim narrative as Christians and Jews are oppressors and Palestinians are victims and Muslims are this incredibly peaceful people. Even when you look and when you dig in and like, is there an incredibly peaceful people on earth? No, that doesn't exist because we are people,
human.
So we are not incredibly peaceful. It's just not a thing. Every culture has had its rampages. Like you have Genghis Khan, you had the wars after Muhammad died, right? When like Islam spread at the tip of a sword. You had the Crusades for sure. Native American tribes were warring with each other. The Algonquin were a warring tribe, the Pequod, you know, all of these, everybody, the Aztecs butchered their children in service to their monotheistic, not monotheistic, what's the other one? Polytheistic.
Right. Yeah. You
know? So yeah, I don't know, but I hate to see it. I hate to see this kind of division in the United States. And I hate to see also that I think there could be some people who are opposed to Biden. And so they're opposed to Israel because Biden's in favor of Israel, which I don't even know if Biden's in favor of Israel so much as he is in favor of like linking the war in Ukraine and making sure he can keep that one going. Yeah.
You know what was
time, in short.
It is. And the great part about you and why I suggest everyone follow you is you do the hard work of finding the insanity and putting it in people's faces so that they see it. Because a lot of people don't. We're living in a time where everyone, especially because of the scraping and the back end and the data collection on social media, people are very siloed. And then there's obviously voices that are very amplified. You work with a couple of the voices that are very amplified on the right. And, you know, you see that, but it's on the left too. But if you're, because of the algorithms, you're not seeing the other side a lot at this point. And I think the work that you do is really important for what's going on in, and to document socially what is happening to our country because of these silos and algorithms that kind of shade and blind people from what is outside of their normal digestion of daily social media. And it's very dangerous because then when you do see the other side, you can't believe how polar opposite it is. And you brought up before Joy Reid or Nicole Wallace or Joy Behar. Some of these people are saying things that are so vile and such lies, and they're getting away with it. They're saying it in the mainstream media. And there's a lot of people out there that only see that. So, you know, the division is really coming from a very siloed, a very echo chamber by design, I believe, division that is coming from above. Because this, as you know, and I know, a lot of these companies at the very top are owned by the same people, namely BlackRock and Vanguard, and people that are very involved with the Great Reset, very involved with ESG scores, have really pushed the diversity, equity, inclusion. So we're dealing with a manufactured division, and it's just one after another. And until people take back their brains, because I keep saying there was a NATO document that came out. I don't know if you saw it. It was cognitive warfare, the war for your brain. And you're reading through this and you're thinking, oh my God, it's military level, globalist controlled, information control, narrative control, all of that. What can people do in your mind to break themselves free of being manipulated by narratives that are clearly by algorithm and other ways being fed to you so that you're in one silo? What are things people can do? Because you tend to be able to find all the other voices that maybe will never come up on my feed.
I think people should on occasion turn off the news, stop reading newspapers, stop scrolling Twitter. Find beautiful things, find beautiful moments, and be able to reset yourself as to what your priorities are and what's most important to you. You know, it's something that a lot of us have trouble doing. You know, we sit down to dinner with our families and everyone has their phone on the table. You know, put it away, look at your children, you know, look at the people that you love, and take stock of them. I think that that's the most important thing to do in terms of not being manipulated, is to stop intaking, you know, stop the upload, and look for the beautiful things. There's so many beautiful moments, you know, that we have in life and that we have with each other that we can experience. I miss reading, you know, like, because I'll pick up a book to read it and then I'll get distracted by all of the rest of it. But it's so nice. It's so much better when you can tell that story in your own mind and think it through. I started reading a trilogy recently, like a mystery trilogy, and it's a lot of fun. And I'm just like, oh, I got to go to work. Oh, right. I really want to sit here and read this.
Right. You know? And you remember when you controlled your brain, you take in information, yeah, you're drawing the picture in your mind. Both of us come from a theater background. So there's a big issue there with Hollywood and creativity. Both of us from when we started to now, I mean, I'm sure you, like me, we were doing plays by Ibsen. We were doing, you know, Neil Simon. Yeah. We were doing, you know, all these Mamet. You know, and it was like, and it was a play and you did all that. Well, a lot of that is gone. And even in New York where we were and where theater, you know, off-Broadway theater, black box theater, it was so exciting and all of that. It's all been very, very infiltrated all the way to the top. My last few years in Hollywood, I couldn't go to a meeting without being told, you know, you need to change this or you need to change that. And you're thinking, but that's not even, what does that have to do with anything? I actually saw the BLM and GLAAD and LGBTQ thing really, really, rampage Hollywood in the early 2000s. But we're at a place where we have to take back that creativity. You know, we have to take back the getting together in public, live music, live theater. This has all been very lost. And I think then during the lockdowns of COVID, it went to another level. I read Hannah Arendt a lot on my show, and I talk about how she says the best way for totalitarians to actually take over a society is to really, really make isolation and loneliness normal. And where a lot of people think that social media has brought people together, I think the opposite. I think people are far more lonely, far more isolated. And what you're talking about, getting out in public, creating art, creating music, taking back the arts to be something that you and I fell in love with as kids and slowly but surely has been corrupted or manipulated. So we're seeing a lot of that. When you see what's going on in like Hollywood or advertising or any of that, how much do you think that we have the ability to turn that around? Because it does seem that the entire creative industry has gone full-fledged globalist oppression, diversity, equity, inclusion, CRT, and a lot of what made it beautiful and God's work is gone.
Yeah, I think that you're right. Do you remember when art activism became a phrase? And there was suddenly this idea that like, if you're doing art, but you're not an activist with your art, then you're not doing the right thing. You're not doing the good art. And I want to see art with no political overtones. Right. I want to see art with no activism in it. I want to see art that is not about, you know, telling me what political perspective I should have or which way I should lean my views or which, you know, causes button I should put on my shirt or bumper sticker on my car. And I think that it's up to ideally young people who are creative to create work that bucks those trends, whether that means that they, you know, get their own TV show on Netflix or not. You know, remember the Fluxus movement? It was like an arts movement called Fluxus. And it was, what was it, like maybe in the 60s, 70s, I don't know. But they were so opposed to being dictated at by the creative forces that be, by the gatekeepers or whoever else. They would like write poems and they wouldn't publish them. They would just like send it to each other in the mail. And they'd be like, here's my art.
Right. Yeah. So
they would present their work to each other and to their audiences outside of the frameworks of, you know,
I think we need to do that now. I've been saying to people like, you know, put together
it. The memes are like outside of the globalist narrative. And that's why Douglas Mackey is going to prison for 7 months because they're like, you can't create ideas outside of the given framework. You are not allowed to do that.
Yeah. And we're not going to evolve as a society. We're not going to heal in any way if we're not dealing with universal themes that unite people from the core of the humanity. And that's been a lot, pretty much erased. Hey guys, thank you for watching the show. I just want to remind you yet again that we really need to be very cautious of what is going on with the economy, both here and internationally. Most of us know that the BRICS nations are looking for a gold-backed currency to dethrone the dollar being the world reserve currency. They have an event coming up on August 22nd. The BRICS nations are all going. There are also 13 other nations that would like to join the BRICS nations. And this is not something to not pay attention to. We have to make sure that you protect your savings. And that is why I have chosen Beverly Hills Precious Metals. That is where I have gotten my gold and silver. I leave it in a depository. I know it's there. I've replaced it with my savings I've put there to make sure that I weather the storm no matter what, be it the central bank digital currency, the BRICS nations, the dollar goes into collapse, whatever may happen. I know 401k, IRA, backed by gold, as well as having my savings, at least an amount of my savings in gold, in the depository or sent to you at home, is the best way to make sure you maintain peace of mind and make sure that your savings and everything that you've earned is safe no matter what comes. We will get through this. All is not lost. America will return to greatness as it always has been. But between now and then, we have to be very smart and very cognizant of what's going on. So please go to Mel K Gold or go to the MelKShow.com partners page and go to Beverly Hills Precious Metals. And my friend Andrew will take care of you. He's got a great team. Gold is the way to go right now. And I know that no matter what, I'm safe. So please do that for yourselves. We really care about you here. You're more like family and friends. And I hear from all of you a lot. So I just want to make sure that you guys are doing something proactive to be prepared. All will be well, but take care of yourself now. Being prepared is always a good thing.
They don't even know what they're trying to see. They put a man in the dress as Assistant Secretary of Health and Human Services, and he goes out there saying, like, yay, gender transition your kids.
Right.
Even though he did his whole sex change after being married, after creating a career, after having children. He fathered children. And now he's encouraging kids to get gender changes when they're minors, meaning that they will never be able to have children. I mean, what a gross and horrible man would do this. And this is who the Biden administration tapped. You have Karine Jean-Pierre, who is obsessed with being a lesbian to the point where on, you know, fake holiday coming out day in 2022, she told her coming out story to reporters in the White House press corps as though it mattered.
I know. These are a bunch of narcissists too.
Nobody cares. Like, stop. Just stop talking. You've Sam, what was his name? The guy who stole all the luggage.
The nuclear, he was in charge of our nuclear waste and he's stealing suitcases of women.
Women's clothes. It's ridiculous. I don't know what America they think they're looking at. Joe Biden is looking at his feet so he doesn't fall down. And otherwise, he's just staring into the sun on the Delaware beach with his eyes closed. I don't think they know what they're looking for other than to cross their arms and yell at everybody.
Yeah, I mean, watching him on the beach, though, I mean, if, to me, I feel like they're like, it's like a humiliation ritual. They're making us accept like the Bezmenov stuff. They're making us accept this as normal and acceptable. And this is what America looks like. It's not what America looks like. But because so many people are so intimidated by cancel culture and by, you know, public humiliation and like Media Matters, like campaign, you know, a million people in your life that they've come after. And these people are so vicious. They have no respect for people. They go after your family, your whole life. They'll destroy you because you are saying, wait, no, that's not right. Or that's not real. Or that's not healthy for our children or our society. That's another thing that I think is very, and you personally know people that have gotten attacked in that way. And I think that people have to start to realize that if we stand up to these bullies, it'll stop. But not enough people are willing to say no. Not enough people are willing to do that. And the ones that do get attacked, and then you kind of shy away and you don't comment. You don't want people to see it. But this is called normalization of totally degenerate, abnormal behavior.
And that's a good time to turn it all off. You know, as they say, like touch grass or whatever. But like, yeah. I think it's, lately I've been feeling that myself. Like I work like 7 days a week right now.
Right.
And I'm like working from pretty much when I wake up to when I go to sleep almost. And I feel like I'm not the only one who's doing that. A lot of us are doing that. And we're doing that because we are so drawn into the constant news cycle. The 24-hour news cycle of the internet is so much worse than the 24-hour news cycle of the cable news.
Right.
No, it's so much worse because you also, there's a distrust of media. So when it was a 24-hour news cycle on cable news, there was a general feeling of trusting the media and being like, oh, CNN is telling us the accurate information. And now you don't trust CNN. You don't trust the people on Twitter. You don't trust anybody. So you're constantly going down these rabbit holes, trying to figure out what's really going on. You run into language barriers. You have no idea what's going on in Ukraine. You know, we never see videos coming out of Ukraine. We see all these videos coming out of Israel. We're supposed to believe everything they say about Ukraine. We're supposed to believe everything they say about Israel and Gaza. Meanwhile, even having videos isn't enough to just say, oh, I trust that then, you know, I can see it with my own eyes. Cause you don't have any idea.
Yeah. It's the control also of the narrative. Yeah. It's the fact checkers. It's all this BS and people are just accepting it. But I do think that there's a turn happening. I do think a lot of people now, especially after the COVID, what I feel is that they totally overplayed their hand during the COVID and they didn't achieve or accomplish what they had planned to accomplish. So now it's just chaos after chaos.
So far, we've given $113 billion to Ukraine since February 2022. That's $113 billion. That's more money than I don't even know if I could write down $113 billion in proper numerical formulation. I don't know. Never done it before. That's really a lot of money. I think it might be, but you also have all of these war hawks out there who are just like insisting that it's, you know, to save our democracy, to go fight Russia in Ukraine, but like, we're not really fighting Russia. We're just supporting Ukraine, even though Russia's like, yo, you're totally fighting us right now. Yeah. I certainly hope that the amount of money will be a wake up call. But again, it's almost like, and pardon me for feeling a little blackpilled today, but like, what do we do about it? They just keep sending the money. We keep screaming. We tell our representatives, don't send the money. They eject the House Speaker. They can't come up with a new one. Right. We don't have anybody in the Senate who, we don't have enough people in the Senate who want to not send money to Ukraine. The White House is all in on Ukraine. What more can we do when people who are conservative protest, they get put in prisons,
right?
They get detained for a very long time. When you have BLM activists come up against the law from 2020, I think across the country, $68 million has been paid out to BLM activists for like, oh, you arrested me in kind of a mean way, or you shot a rubber bullet at me instead of like a real bullet. And it really kind of hurt my feelings. So you now have to give me money. That has happened across the US. $2 billion in insurance damages from the summer of 2020 riots, $68 million paid out to activists and agitators and people who were setting police cars on fire. Very short jail terms for anybody who ends up in there, if they even, you know, see a trial at all. And then you have all these Jan Sixers sent, they're detained and then they're imprisoned for years at a time. There's just such a, it's such a huge double standard, and it almost feels like we're powerless to stop it. If you remember during COVID, I think it was it April? Maybe April 2020, you had a bunch of Michiganders go to Lansing. Gretchen Whitmer is such an authoritarian punk. And they go out there to Lansing and they're like, yeah, not cool. Open up our nail salons. We want to have our job. We want to have our businesses. Why do you have the casinos open, but you close the churches? And Gretchen Whitmer's like, you guys are all racist. And the whole country, all the media prints like, racist Michiganders go to Lansing. They're armed. Put them in jail.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's what they do.
That's the standard. That's the standard. Then you had suddenly in New York City, you had all these COVID lockdowns, totally stupid and oppressive. And then in June, 10,000 people all go put on white. They go outside the Brooklyn Museum to protest for Black trans lives, claiming there's a Black trans genocide, not even noting for a single second that the numbers on deaths of trans people of color come from Brazil, from a study from years ago where Brazilian trans prostitutes were at higher risk of being murdered. Really? You don't say. They're not talking about your average whatever, like Cynthia or whoever in Oklahoma, who's like, I'm trans now. Let me go in your daughter's bathroom. That's not what they're talking about. And that was cool with the powers that be in the government.
Yeah.
That they could protest out there. But if I wanted to take my kid to dinner, that was a problem.
Right.
Suddenly I'm a racist because I want to take my kid to dinner and I'm a grandma killer. But these people, they can just trot about doing what they please. And they had all those medical professionals sign on being like, racism is a bigger health crisis than COVID.
Right.
Oh, okay. You forking liars.
But can you believe how many people have said this is, I mean, this goes back also to the Nazi Germany, the banality of evil, because I just watched Dinesh D'Souza's Police State, a lot of the stuff we're talking about, and I've had on at least a dozen January 6th defendants, and these people had heavily armed with machine guns, 10 to 15 FBI agents kick in their doors. A lot of them didn't even go in the Capitol. None of them knew they were coming that I've had on. At least they didn't expect that. And when they could have just knocked at the door and asked them, well, they shouldn't have been doing that at all. But it's this terror. It's so scary because, like you said, you protested against the Patriot Act. I was very against it, too. And what we have seen is that the Patriot Act has become what I believe it was. It was written 2 years, if not more, before 9/11. Then 9/11 came and they were like, And, you know, Joe Biden was but one of the people behind it. But I think we do have things that we need to do that we can do. I think one of the biggest things we can do as the people of the United States, and we should all be able to meet in the middle on, is that Patriot Act has to be reversed. Not that they're going to honor it if it is reversed, but I think that that's a first step. I think there's a bunch of first steps that can be taken, but not unless we organize and actually show up. I saw you were also talking about local action and that, yeah, people did that with the school boards and all of that, but we are having God knows who shipped all over the country to all of our areas, all of our neighbors. We don't know. Right. And we really have to start being, I keep saying we should have, like, you know how when we were little, like our parents did like neighborhood watch when there were robberies in the neighborhood. I feel like we need freedom watch groups all over the country. Leave your politics outside and let's just meet in the middle on freedom. Because that is what we're losing here. And that is, it's all, a lot of it's based on this nonsense and fear. What are some things that, you know, you think we can maybe force change on if we actually did get together and did come together to try to turn some of this around? Because if we don't do that, it's not going to happen. And in 2024, they are going to cheat right in front of our faces. And if they win a one-party system, my belief is it will be a global governance system, because Obama signed on to Agenda 2030 and the 17 development goals in 2015 without telling the United States, without telling the people. This is a global governance lockstep program. And Joe Biden is all set for signing the World Health Organization treaty, signing the Summit of the Futures is coming up at the UN with our common agenda, which if you read it, is a global governance worldwide basically constitution. And then the 17 development goals basically are, who's policing that? Well, if you look at who's policing that, it's a government global. So, you know, I mean, we got to figure out how to meet on, I think all people can meet on that. Like people aren't meeting on that.
Yeah, you'd think that people would be able to get together on that. I think a lot of it has to do with just not being able to visualize what that is and being so secure in our, you know, American stability. I feel like it's going to happen before we know it. And then we're just going to have whiplash, which a lot of us have been having for about 20 years at this point. Just like, wait, what?
Right. Oh,
we were bombed by Saudi Arabian, you know, terrorists, and now we're bombing Iraq. I'm confused.
Yeah.
What's going on? Yeah, it's really a terrifying situation. I don't know what could happen. Do you think that people want to fight back? Do you think that people feel that they can fight back and risk that? I mean, people don't really start fighting back until they feel like they have nothing to lose. So
sadly, I believe that we are already at that point, but only people that really do what we do and watch us and listen to us and follow us even know about the Great Reset at this point. They've been right. So expert in turning that, you know, using the conspiracy theory thing when it's on their own websites. I always say to people, just go to weforum.org and put in global governance. It just sounds just like Hunger Games when they had their big event at the UN in the carcass that we both used to call home until recently in New York City. They had a big UN event. They pulled up the Clinton Global Initiative on stage, the IMF. They're having a drone fireworks spectacular above what used to be New York City. And I just kept looking at it and thinking, they want Hunger Games. If nobody can understand anything else, can you understand that? Because that is what they're talking about. And to me, I don't know what we should do, but we the people that are awake, are doing the best we can, but it's just amazing to me because what I see too is what you're saying is people will walk towards it. I mean, there's so many people giving their biometric data, they think it's cool to put their hands on the thing at Whole Foods or at Amazon and don't realize where's your data going? It's like people aren't asking the next step. Who's enforcing these 17 sustainable goals? Where is your data going that you're giving to Clear? You know, and you and I both know that there's a digital infrastructure that is literally a digital gulag, includes the central bank digital currency. They're going to use this whole terrorism open border thing for a digital global ID. Like that's where we really have to understand that people have to get serious.
Yeah. Once you have the central digital bank currency, you can central bank digital currency. I always get those mixed up, but whatever. Once you have that, you can print as much money as you ever need. Just like add some more zeros to it and watch your society crumble apart, social credit system. There's so many scary things, but I do think that, you know, maybe the hope does lie with the American people who are primarily pretty intelligent, thoughtful, empathetic, considerate people who will stand up for their rights. And I think there's a lot of us like that who believe that fully. And we need to teach our kids that their rights. We need to make sure that they know the important part. But it is going to be a struggle. And I think we're going to see several, maybe decades worth of hard years until we are able to rebuild an American stability. And I hope that it is an American stability that we are able to rebuild.
Yeah, me too. I mean, more luckily you're out there. Human Events is out there. Postmillennial is one of the best websites out there. It's on my website as a recommended website as well. You're doing incredible work, but we have to remember that we are oftentimes speaking to each other. They really have motivated themselves to shut down any dissent. It's going to get worse, I believe. I believe that a lot of the people that remain on YouTube somehow and have all this time, you know, they recently changed the terms of service on YouTube to say that it has to align with the World Health Organization. And at the same time, the World Health Organization redefined pandemic to include systematic racism, climate change, all of that. So the censors are coming. Purging is not even there yet. But I do believe that we can, the more we speak and the more we get it out there, we can have people at least meet in the middle on freedom, because that is what is at stake, is freedom. And it's not just for us. You know, Trump says a lot, they're not after me, they're after you, and I'm in the way. The American people better realize they're not after America, they're after the world. And we, the people of the United States, are in the way. And as scary as it is, this is a time, I think, in history, and in a biblical sense as well, where you can be part of saving, you know, humanity on a grand scale if you just start getting involved locally and take small steps. But if you're going to sit it out, then someday somebody's going to ask where you were when America fell, and you're going to say, I was watching it, instead of I was doing something about it. And I think we really need to just get that message out that everyone can do something.
Yeah, I think we probably can. Speaking up at school board meetings has actually made a huge difference in this country. I think that's sort of such an amazing lesson. It's your most local of government entities. And Moms for Liberty went out there and they flipped a bunch of school boards. You know, also there were some other organizations that did that too. They went out there, they worked hard, they got school boards flipped. They were working to get, you know, porn out of schools, basically critical race theory out of schools. Who would have thought that this is what we needed to do?
I don't know.
But that's almost more important than anything else, right? Is making sure that the kids who are coming up now are learning American values, and they're not learning this globalist agenda as their moral linchpin.
Yeah, and you know, we the good thing about COVID, there were a lot of silver linings. One of them was parents had no idea. We thought they were reading our school books, and people didn't realize that Pearson Publishing and the Obama administration went in and basically rewrote all our school books. And, yeah. you have a young son, and you know, like, if you don't tell him what's real and what's not, they're going to. And they are not on the side of neither us or our children. They, like you said earlier, they don't want innovation. They don't want a scientist that are really creating stuff. They don't want literature. They don't want creativity. They want, conformity. And that is the goal. So Libby, tell everyone where they can find you. I highly recommend following her post-millennial and human events work. It is absolutely incredible. But go ahead and tell people how they can follow you otherwise.
You can find me on Twitter at Libby Emmons. And you can check out what we're doing at thepostmillennial.com and humanevents.com. And we have a members only that you can subscribe to. You can go ad free, which is great given the number of ads that exist out there in the internet today. And that is at thepostmillennial.com/subscribe.
Yeah. And you also, you're often on the roundtable and Tim Pool. And I really appreciate that show because you put a lot of people together that have different opinions. And at the end of the show, I do a show, Union of the Unwanted, so kind of like that as well. At the end of the show, you realize we're not that far apart. Most people will stand for the things that really matter. And I really appreciate your work. And thank you for being here.
Thanks so much, Mel. I appreciate it.
The narrative is falling apart, but as it does, there's so much of this fraudulent disinformation, misinformation, censorship coming from the globalists. And what we need to do is be focused on the facts, cut through everything, be discerning, and get it first and foremost out there to everyone. It is important that you know what is going on. Censorship is getting nuts. You guys know it. There's accounts all over the place that are fake, that are not me. I know you guys send me emails and I really appreciate it. And you report it, and it's on Telegram and Instagram and Twitter, and they're not me. So I'm super excited to announce We the People with Mel Kay. Be the first to join. It's a VIP community, just you and me behind a paywall, no trolls, no nothing. We get to know each other. I will give you the facts first. I break a lot of stories a long time before other people. We can talk about past, present, future, history, what we're doing now, solutions for going forward, what 2024 is gonna look like. I'm gonna do breaking news, do a lot of deep dives. I'm gonna bring that information to you guys first in a live Q&A every week. So please click the link below and join me over there. We are going to create a community that is censorship proof, it's cancel proof, it's truth, it's transparency, it's on the road to God, country, justice, everything that we want in one place. This is the most incredible, amazing time to be alive. As hard as it seems and as difficult as the battle has been for you guys and definitely for me, All I know is that we all are part of the solution. We are all involved and invested, and you guys have the passion that I have. So let's join together on live Q&As once a week with me, Mel Kay, we the people of the United States, taking back this nation. This is so exciting, guys. I've been dying to do this, and we finally got the technology right. So please join me. Click the link below. Can't wait to get started. Oh, I hope you're enjoying the show. I was just talking on my new Patriot Mobile service. I have to tell you, I'm so excited. They are incredible. They are America first. They align with my values. And you know what? It's unlimited minutes, unlimited text, Wi-Fi calling, unlimited data, high speed, everything that you could use, just like everyone else. We have our time, we have our vote, and we have our money. And the great thing about Patriot Mobile is your service will be exactly the same. Difference with Patriot Mobile is they are an America First company. And what they do is they reinvest their money into causes that matter to me and matter to you and matter to this nation. At Patriot Mobile, those causes are the First Amendment, the Second Amendment, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, the Constitution, and our children's future. So please go to themelkayshow.com. Patriot Mobile is a partner of ours. Please use the code MELK. What I can tell you too is that they are supporting me and they are supporting creators because they believe in the First Amendment. They believe that censorship is wrong and they are going to put their money where their mouth is. Do what you can for the creators out there that are doing what I'm doing. Please go to Patriot Mobile, MELK Show. All I can say is thank you so much, guys. Supporting my partners supports me, and Patriot Mobile is absolutely awesome. I checked them out. We're switching to Patriot Mobile, and we hope you do too. Thank you so much.